Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven, the radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
Look out.
Did you know there are 293 ways to make change for a dollar? It's true. Let me show you how. There's 100 pennies, 95 pennies and a nickel, 90 pennies and 2 nickels, 85 pennies and 3 nickels, 80 pennies and 4 nickels, 75 pennies and 5 nickels, 70 pennies and 6 nickels, 65 pennies and 7 nickels, 60 pennies and 8 nickels, 55 pennies and 9 nickels, 50 pennies and 10 nickels, 45 pennies and 11 nickels, 40 pennies and 12 nickels, 35 pennies and 13 nickels, 30 pennies and 14 nickels, 25 pennies and 15 nickels, 20 pennies and 16 nickels, 15 pennies and 17 nickels, 10 pennies and 18 nickels, 5 pennies and 19 nickels, 20 nickels, 19, wait.
As the sun rises over the Arabian Sea on the coastal city of Mumbai, the day is beginning for the
According to 2017 tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million a year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million a year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh, my gosh. You know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million a year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million a year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million a year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million your income because it is that important to make that kind of money today because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the valuetainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million your income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one is the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50-cent, half a dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million your income, There's so many different ways they can break down the math to make $1 million your income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million your income, because you got to know the formula on how to make $1 million income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month, times 12 months, you're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now, you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, if you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250, if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut, you need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get 5 people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make 4 of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need 8 sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need 2 sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission is $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need 5 real estate agents per month that make 2 sales a month for you at $500,000 to make $90,000 a month, or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1,008,000 per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm. This could be an IT firm. This could be a consulting firm. But the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me. You say it's going to be around 300 hours. 300 hours times 150 hours, $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. And $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT, they sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75, that means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with 7 consultants. If you have 7 consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh. This is all I need to do to make $1 million income. What do I need to do to make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know a lot of smart, intelligent, logical people with 4-year degrees who, you know, mastered calculus, pre-calculus, who have this down, but they have problems with this next part. And by the way, this is 20% of the work. This is 80%. Let's get on to the emotion side. So here's the emotion side. On the emotion side, you have multiple different areas. Let me start off with the first one here. And this is by far the biggest challenge people have, and that is belief. In order for somebody to make this kind of money, $1 million your income, you're not going to make it if you don't believe it. So you say, well, Pat, how do I get a chance to believe this? I never, in my wildest dreams, nobody in my family made this kind of money. I've not been around people that make this kind of money. How can I make this kind of money? Here's the kicker. You need to master the art of future truth. Now, what is future truth? A lot of people have a hard time with this. Let me explain. So imagine if you have a lot of doubt. You don't believe in you, right? You're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is great, but me making $1 million income, I don't know about that. Yesterday, I had 60 people here in my office, and I said, what is the big deal about making $1 million income? You should have seen some people's faces. Well, I don't really know if I'll ever make it, but it's kind of cool to dream about having a big house and the cars and the freedom and a few million in the bank account, but I don't know if it's for me. That's because they don't believe in it. That's because they don't understand the concept of future truth. Let me explain to you the future truth concept. Some of you may have never heard of future truth before. Here's what it is. If you're going to lie about you, you may as well tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over again. Now, at first, it's very difficult. Let me describe this to you before you get uncomfortable. For instance, I am going to make $1 million a year income. Now, I want you to say it. Say it to me real quick. Stop. Say it. I'm going to give you a second. Say it. I am going to make $1 million a year income. Say it again. Perfect. Let me ask you, was it uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're lying to yourself, right? Sometimes people say, well, Pat, I kind of was weird. I feel like I'm lying to myself. If you say, I am amazing. I'm meant to do something big with my life. I'm the guy that's going to go out there and be the hero to my family. That's difficult for some people because they're lying. But it's a current lie, but it's not a future lie. It's a future truth. It is a current lie, but it's a future truth. You see, the more you tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually believe it, future truth is you're going to make $1 million your income. This is a belief system that is very difficult for most people to do because most people think every kind of lie is a bad lie. No, I'm not telling you to go lie to your wife about some things you're doing on the side or lie to your husband about what you're doing on the side. I'm telling you, tell a good lie. I'm going to make a difference in the world. And you don't believe it. But say it a million times. You're going to end up believing it. I'm meant to do something special in my life. There's no way in the world God put me on this planet to just be a regular guy. No way. The blood in here is boiling. I want to do something big with my life. This guy was put on this planet to make a difference. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Convince everybody in the world. The entire time you're just trying to convince one person. And that is you. And that's the game of future truth. And for some of you that are maybe making $4,000 a month for the last 20 years, you really need to start lying to yourself. You, I'm talking to you. You really need to start this moment, start telling a lie to yourself on how special of a human being you are. Over, and don't expect anybody else to do it. For instance, when you say, honey, I wish you would have told me more nicer things. Mom, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Dad, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Don't wait on them. Start with you. Number two, perspective. Here's what I mean by perspective. Sometimes you need to make the big small. Did you notice how I started the video and what did I say? I said, according to last year's tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million income. I said that. Then what did I say? Total amount of people that have climbed Mount Everest is how many? 4,000. That perspective to you made the big small. You need to do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until like, why am I thinking this is such a big deal to make $1 million income? It is not, because you finally got perspective, you put things in perspective, and you're over and over and over and over again making a big small, 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 until eventually you're like, oh, this is not a big deal, we're going to do this as well. Number three, question everything. Everything. When your mom and dad say something and it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, it's hard to, not everybody's going to make millions. Honey, it's not us to make millions. Don't sit there and let them say it. Stop them. Listen, Mom, I don't believe you. Dad, I don't want to believe you. Bro, I don't want to believe you. Dude, I'm not with you. I don't want to buy into that concept. Say it to them. Question them. Challenge them. Don't let them get away with it by saying it around you, because if you sit there and you don't question that thing, that means you bought into it. That means you believed it. You got to question the stuff you tell yourself. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. Is that even true? I don't believe you. You to yourself, I don't believe what you're saying, bro. I don't want to believe you. I'm not buying what you just said right now. Question every single thing. Why do I believe this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I wired this way? Is that thinking even right? Why do I even do this? We had a meeting last week with my staff. This is a different meeting than yesterday. Yesterday's was sales. Last week's was staff. And one of our employees, they were required, every one of them was required to read the book Principle, and if they didn't read it, some of them were going to get fired, and, you know, we had the meeting. And I know some people, this is harsh. Look, there's a few things with me. I may look like a guy on video you like and all this other stuff. Working with me on a daily basis, the expectation and standard is here. I expect you to perform. That's the reason we create an incredible environment where people love being around. But the expectation of performance is very, very high, and the pressure is very high to perform, work, and improve. If you're the same person every 3 to 6 months, you don't need to be in this company. You need to go to a different place. So I was speaking about this, and one lady said, well, you know, in this book, what I took away from this book was the fact that I think sometimes in companies, the executives need to understand that everybody's different, and not everybody, you know, does this and does that. I said, ma'am, stop. I said, did you even read the book? No, I didn't read the book. I said, why is it that the first thing you got out of the book is how you can fix everybody around you instead of how you can fix you? You see, the only way your income's going to grow is by focusing all the things that you got to do on you to improve. If you fix you, everybody else around you is going to be fine. But you got to fix you. And I asked the following question. I said, here's a question for you. I said, what's the most money you've ever made in a year? Don't say it publicly. Just think about that number. What is the most money you ever made in a year? Then I said, go back 10 years ago. How much has that income changed and why? Why? Why has that income not changed that much? If 10 years ago you were making $16 an hour, 10 years later you're making $16 an hour, why is that? Why is your market, you know, value in the marketplace the same thing? Is it everybody's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it your boss's fault, your parents' fault, your kids' fault, your spouse's fault, or your fault? Everything here comes back to you. And it's so hard to do, but you got to face the truth. You ain't going to make $1 million your income. You don't face the truth and realize the issue's right here. And the last item to cover over here, to my left, to your right, is guaranteed formula for success. If you notice, it's got a little bit of green in it, and it's got a little bit of red in it because it's a combination of emotion and logic. It's the four things I always talk about. My guaranteed formula for success that is 100% proven for my life and other people I've taught. Outwork, outimprove, outlast, and outstrategize. Again, outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. What you're looking on the screen here, on the screen, look at those four again. What you're looking on the screen here, which of those four things that you're looking at, the outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize, which of those four things do you think comes last? Meaning you'll learn the latest. It's outstrategize. Why? Because that requires a lot of experience. It's like you got to go through, like a general in a war, right? You got to go through so many different wars to learn different strategies and what works and what tactics works and what doesn't work. That's something you got to be working on, right? However, the other three, outwork. If a guy works 80 hours a week and you work 40 hours a week, you can't compete with that guy. If you yourself are reading 2, 3, 4 books a month and you're developing your mind and your competitor is not and he only reads one or two and you study in industry articles and all this other stuff and they're not, you know, you're studying how to recruit CEOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs, what is the best way to stretch this $1 million investment that I got to make this happen? Who should I talk to be part of a group or mentors and CEOs group and all these? Who should I network with? What community should I be a part of? Who's the best engineers, IT firm to hire? What are these competitors doing? What are some of the guys that are not even in my market? If you start studying those industries, somebody else isn't. It's tough to compete with you. And then outlast. Some people work 80 hours a week for a year, and that's great. But they can't work 80 hours a week for 3 years. Some work 80 hours a week for 3 years. But you work 80 hours a week for 5 years. You outlasted the guy that did 3 years or 1 year. They can't compete with you because the compounding effort favors you. So these four things that you look at on the screen require one thing, and that's discipline. And the discipline part, you don't hear a lot about. That's the things people do when nobody else sees. That's when you win. Again, there's a part of this that's logical. There's a part of this that's emotional. But let me get to the last part here and wrap up the session here. So you got all these different things. Imagine this part here with you and I talking. Think about it this way. What if you, at the end of this video, what if you, watching this, you said, it makes sense. I'm going to apply some of this stuff, okay? I'm going to sit down and figure out my math. I'm going to do it, okay? And I'm going to sit down and question my beliefs. I'm going to sit down and talk about the future truth. I'm going to find a big lie and say it over and over and over again. By the way, I want you to tweet me your big lie on Twitter, at Patrick B. David, tweet me your big lie. And my favorite lie, I'm going to retweet a few of them. You tweet me your biggest lie at Patrick B. David. What is your big lie? What is your future truth? You start working on your perspective, making a big small. You start questioning everything, challenging your thinking. You face the truth. You make a game plan to outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. You start making $1 million your income. And you become one of those 500,000 people in America that make $1 million your income. You may be in another different country and you're making $1 million your income because principles are evergreen in all the countries outside of communism and socialism. What if you apply those concepts and you started improving? What if you did that? What would happen to you? What happens if you make $1 million your income? Are you better for your family? Are you better for your community? Are you better for your parents, your friends, your kids? Are you better for society? Are you better for your friends? Are you better for everybody? More importantly, are you better for you? Do you have better doctors for you? Do you live in a better community? Do you give more money to charity? Do you give more money to communities? Do you feel better about yourself? Do you wake up in the morning and once you figure out this entire formula, do you really think you can go back to being a regular person like you used to be? Do you really think you can go back and take up some of your bad habits if you make this thing a consistent thing? Now, it's easy to go back and being bad, but don't you think you're going to start living a whole different life? Is it not worth it to make a decision to do this? You see, the reality is of everybody watching this, maybe 1% of you is actually going to apply the things we talk. Maybe 1% of everybody watching is going to apply the stuff that we're talking about. Most people are just going to go boom, boom. They skipped. You went back to work or you went back to a whole different thing, and you'll say, I'm going to get back to this later on today and put a reminder, and you forget about it like everybody else does. A few of you are going to watch this and you're going to say, stop everything. I'm taking a break. Hey, I need a break, 20-minute break, 30-minute break. Go grab it because your emotions are high. Start writing. Start asking. Write this whole formula. We're going to have a PDF below for you to get and start writing all this stuff. If that's you, I got two other videos for you to watch. One, 11 Skills of a Millionaire, 11 Skills Millionaires Master. You got to watch this one. And another one is how to really become a millionaire. Not how to make $1 million income, how to really become a millionaire. You need to watch how to really become a millionaire, and you need to watch 11 Skills Every Millionaire Masters. You do those things and go through the PDF and start applying these concepts, 2, 3, 6, 12 months from now, not only are you not going to recognize yourself, none of your friends and family is going to start recognizing yourself, and all of a sudden you're going to send me a message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter saying, Pat, I just crossed $1 million income. I want to ask you, how's it feel? How's it feel? Was it as hard as you thought it was going to be? It was hard, but not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And I'm making $1 million income. And by the way, I can't wait for you to do it. You, I'm talking to you, the serious one. You, I can't wait for you to do it. I can't wait for your dreams to become a reality. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for you to experience this and tell me about it a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. Anyways, you want the PDF, click on the link below. Questions, thoughts, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, click on the subscribe button right here to my left. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, today we're on part 9. And we have a generational wealth problem. And what we're doing is basically breaking this down because this is how we're going to reach the goals that we were talking about since last year with these tiny houses. Now, I want you to pay attention because we're going to take what Patrick was just talking about, because the figure of making $1 million for most people is intimidating. So that's why today we're breaking that down fundamentally, and today's podcast is titled, Reba Needs $1 Million. This is a series we're doing now. Reba Needs $1 Million, Mastering Math Formula 781, which will equal $10,000 in revenue. All right. Now, yesterday or the day before yesterday, we gave a word problem, an adult word problem, based frame like they did in your third, fourth, or fifth grade arithmetic book. But instead of apples and oranges and all this other stuff, here's how we framed it. Now, we've got two problems, and we're using one problem to simplify this first problem I'm getting ready to read to you. Problem number one. Reba needs $1 million within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and she has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money she needs within 20 hours without borrowing any money or going to the government? And that's question number one. All right. And the figure in there that's intimidating to most people, $1 million, particularly if you got to get it within 20 hours. So here's question number two, or problem number two, which I call generational wealth mathematic problem number two, which helps simplify problem number one, which I just read. And that reads, 5,000 dollars within 20 hours. Reba is a Spanish teacher, and she has a side hustle of teaching people how to build their own $10,000 house. Using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money that she needs within 20 hours, that's $5,000, excuse me, $5,000, without borrowing any money or going to the government? Now, the first arithmetic problem to help you really simplify, break down this $1 million thing is, you can do this on your own. I want you to do this right now. And when you have the answer, press 1 if you're already in the studio, or call us at 619-768-2945. Divide 1 million by 5,000. Take the figure of 1 million and divide it by 5,000. That 8-year-old can handle in third grade. 1 million, divide that by 5,000, and what's your answer? I've said it yesterday and the day before and whatever. I can say it right now, but I want you to say it because I want you guys to start believing this stuff. All right. Okay. Now, let's go in the question to the problem, because we give you everything you need in there. It says, using e-commerce, how can Reba get the money she needs within 20 hours? All right. Now, so if... is, oh, first thing, let's go back to the master in the form of 781. Seven people within 8 hours, they should be able to build one tiny house, retail valued at or wholesale valued at $10,000. All right. Well, we're going to lower that to 5,000. So let's just, I want you to do the math on this, arithmetic on this too. 5,000 into, how many hours did we say originally? 20 hours. Divide 5,000 into 20 hours. What's the answer to that? And write this thing, because when I open up the mic, when you raise your hand, you need to give us the answer. Okay. All right. Once again, 5,000. And they're not doing this by yourself. It's a mathematical formula. A lot of people, when they need some amount of money, they're thinking, solo, what, by themselves, but in order to reach these figures, you're going to have to organize and collaborate with other people. All right, so 1,000 divided by 20, which represents 20 hours. And that's a lot less intimidating than I titled this program today, which equals $10,000. Then it's just a matter of repeating that process 100 more times to get to the million. And as we played in two different audios in this program today, and we did it yesterday and the day before that, we'll do it again tomorrow, is there are 293 possible ways in which you can get change for a dollar based on just some fundamental, at least on an American scale, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces. Just those five general elements, 293 ways. So it's the same thing with if you're trying to make any amount of money, be it small or large or gargantuan. All right, so we're breaking down ways to do that. Because most people, when they need money, and the way we're conditioned in our society is get a job and use that job to borrow money to get what you need. And then some people might get two jobs and, I had to load it up for tomorrow. Here's a Dr. Phil, because he has a Dr. Phil primetime now. Well, he had a couple on there, a married couple, and they earn six figures a year by working four jobs, and they're barely making it. So their strategy out of the 293, and there's actually more than 293 ways to do this, but they're only thinking of four ways in which you do it, which is not working out the way they want it to work. So we're going to be using in order to generate this kind of money, and we're just talking about a $5,000 to $10,000 day, is number one, we're going to have to form a collaborative. Number two, here's just a partial list of options you have to do that. Half of these I've used. I'll name the ones I use, and then the other ones I'll name that I haven't used yet, but other people have. One way would be to, and once again, 781, seven people get together. They build one small, tiny house within 8. And there's eBay. I've used eBay several times. On eBay, you have two options. Actually, three, but I'm going to just go through the two that I know personally. You can go to eBay right now if you want to check this out. You can sell it by auction, because when I started using eBay, because what I used to do with people is we would find a fixer-upper house. We would get them a foreclosed house from a finance companies when they were abundantly around finance companies. And we're talking about buying something like a $5,000 or even a $2,000 building or even a $1,000 house. And we'll go on eBay today to see what they have out there. And we would put it up on an eBay auction, a seven-day auction. And, you know, we would either resell a house typically for $5,000 to up to $10,000. That's all with a seven-day auction. Now, eBay also has another function, which is buy it now. In other words, you find something at one price, you find something for $1,000, and you want to sell it for $2,000, they have a buy it now price. So there are people on. So that's one way that you can quickly get your money. You can have a buy it now price or do an eBay auction and see what you might get higher than what you know you anticipate. The next one would be Craigslist. On Craigslist, you can have something up for sale, and if it's priced right, or even rent it, because on Craigslist, you have people as well as eBay. You have eBay that go to these eBay auctions. You have eBay that that the buy it now price and on Craigslist. You have people that have money ready to go right now. They're ready to transact business right now. All right. So eBay, Craigslist, I've heard that. Then there's Facebook Marketplace, which once again, people that look that they're looking for something to buy. All right. Then there's Facebook Live, which I wouldn't call it an auction, but yard sales, rummage sale. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff on Facebook Marketplace. And Facebook Live, excuse me, Facebook. Then, of course, there's StreamYard, Zoom, YouTube live streams, TikTok. There's Etsy. I haven't done Etsy yet. And then there's X, also formerly known as Twitter. And then here's another thing. You can just say, you know what, I like eBay. And you can run 100 or 200 placements on eBay. Or you can do Facebook Marketplace and have 100 or 200 placements of whatever you're selling on that platform as well. Now, of course, when you get to numbers like that, you're going to need a you're definitely going to need a team. That's something you can't do by yourself. But just on one platform, which I suggest to start on one platform, see how you like that, which we'll be doing. And then there's enough to do. I would still organize a team if you just do one platform. All right. Just do one. You might not need seven people. There might be one or two or three. I did it with, it was one, two, three, four of us. We were doing eBay auctions. And, you know, that way you had eyeballs on it for the whole 7 days. You can do a, and you don't have to do a 7-day auction, although I recommend it. But you can do a 3-day auction if you want on eBay or even less time. But we did 7-day auctions because that gave people enough time to look, to actually go physically go to the property and then check it out, ask any questions for due diligence, and then the bidding, the serious bidding doesn't start happening until maybe the last minute of the auction. Then there's a bidding frenzy. So you might see a price that you start off with $1, and then at the end of the auction, within which the last minute or so, that price might go from $1 all the way up to $7,000 or $8,000. So you don't have to do all of these, but you can pick which one or which combinations that you think you feel comfortable with and get the best results with. Something like Craigslist, you're definitely going to have something boots on the ground. But when people go to Craigslist, they do have money. Matter of fact, I would say over the last 5 years, and the bulk of my food comes from just two ads that I place on Craigslist. On a property that's in Louisiana and I'm in Florida. All right. But I had to make that work. I had my cousin in New Orleans. She's boots on the ground. And I told her what to do to run the ad because they got something there where I couldn't use my phone number here or whatever. So, well, she's got a local number. She's right there. So essentially, Craigslist is good for boots on the ground stuff. eBay and Facebook and StreamYard is good for other functions. So, all right, anyway, let's go to the phone lines. Like, hopefully you guys, like I say, the math formula is basic. all right, divide, if you take a million and you divide it by, well, let's just 10,000 or 5,000, what answer do you get? 619-768-2945, or just press 1 if you're already in the studio, if you already know the answer. Because essentially, once you get your formula down, wash, rinse, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. And the more often you do it, you'll get the results that you want. I mean, do you want to do it once a day, once a week, once a year, or how many times do you want to do it in a day or a week? All right, the more you want to do it, the more frequently you want to do it, you're definitely going to have to organize and train a team to do it. So that's what we're doing with these podcasts and then offline events. Okay, 773, your mic is open.
Grand Rising, how are you today?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Great, I'm well, thank you.
Good. All right, what do you got for us?
I'm actually listening to the 293 ways to change a dollar. I was thinking of a riddle. Why is it 293? Why is it an odd number instead of an even number? I may have the right guess, but that's a riddle. I don't necessarily know the answer. However, that was something interesting while you were sharing that audio. Why is it not an even number? Why is it 293 ways?
Well, that's not set in stone now.
Oh, it's just what they oh, gotcha. There may be more. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just like when you play the game of chess. Yeah, it's like when you play the game of chess. For each move that you make, each time you make a move on a chessboard, your possibilities increase. You know, after the first move, you got 30 possibilities before you make your next move. You know, you just but you only make one move. So there's a lot of ways that you can win, but it increases each move you make.
However, in this case, we're looking at the absolute number of different types of coins. So if you have the penny, the nickel, the dime, the quarters, and the 50-cent pieces, the five different types of coins. The thing is, we're changing a dollar 293 ways. So it's going to be, I'm not saying like with chess, you're talking about the different moves. You may move a different way however many times, but you can only have an absolute number of different coins to change a dollar. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm not saying if you have like five nickels, five dimes, and 25 pennies, you just actually have that many. I'm not saying, okay, well, I give the cashier 25 pennies first, like making a move on a chessboard. So I'm just saying that it's different. You get what I'm saying?
That's true. That's one way to do it. American coins, because if you switch to another currency, that number can decrease or multiply.
Well, let's talk about the American dollar. So I was thinking of a riddle. So people get engaged on social media, live shows and things like that when you come up. Like I remember they used to have, for one, even American Idol. That was part of how they gained a lot of popularity because you watch, but then you also get to they have people to vote for the one who people think will win.
Mm-hmm.
I think the votes actually, America voted for the American Idol. I think that was part of what they, because I voted one time too. I'm just trying to remember how that went. So just thinking of ways, like when I say the riddle, 293 ways, why, the question, the riddle is, why is it 293 ways? Absolute based on 293 ways to use those different coins of the American dollar. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
I was trying to think of a way to engage people because that's pretty much, I love what you shared with, you know, you can do Twitter. You could do, because I used to engage in Twitter. Twitter was better for me. So it's called X now, huh? I'm a little bit behind.
It's called X now, yeah.
Interesting. So I have an account. I guess it would still work. You know, I haven't used Twitter in a while. It was a little boring to me, except I realized people were more engaged with Twitter. You get, and then they started with the video clip with Twitter. That was good. So I was connected to different celebrities. But people that were on Twitter, they actually engaged with me a little bit better. But when I was in Facebook, when I talked about relationships, so I talked about something profound, for instance, it was the first day of school, and GCI would always say, you know, how many fathers are, GCI is pretty good, the local radio station here, WGCI here in Chicago, and it's 107.5. I don't listen to it often like I used to. I don't listen to radio a lot anyway. Because of, I'm not really into, like, a lot of the trap music and some of the new rap, you know, drill or whatever. So, but they would always have, when I was listening, you know, years ago, attentively and more frequently, they had different contests. You know, you can call in and you can win this. V103 still has that. I think GCI probably still has it, too. But they also would have, like, polls, like they do this in Milwaukee. On Sundays, you'd vote for, let's say, is it Gladys Knight or Aretha Franklin? So they will play their songs. So that's how, a way to engage people. So you mentioned Facebook Live to sell our products. Craigslist. So I'm going to engage. So I was thinking about ways that I could promote my Spanish, too, my Spanish classes. And then I'm actually going to establish, I'm going to create, so I do have a curriculum, but I want to get an accredited course. I want to get my course accredited, of course, before I promote it. And then that way it's accredited, and then no one can actually use my structure, my curriculum, the way that I put it together. Because I do have a no-compete clause for business owners. I haven't implemented it in years because I generally have busy professionals and not necessarily just business owners. Because once I teach an individual, they can actually continue. They have a level of fluency. So I teach my students. I'm literally like a learning coach. It's actually, in essence, what I am with the Spanish. And most people know me as Reba, the teacher, or the mobile Spanish teacher. Because years ago, I actually came up with that idea when I was talking with you, but I'm out here in the community teaching Spanish. So pretty much, if anybody knows listening in Radio Land, Brother Eli, Ella and I, we give away a lot. Once again, most consultants would charge for some of the information. And I say that because I like what the young man was saying. Daryl, he said, well, just give a portion, because first of all, you do want people to come back. With what I do, I want people to come back. I want people to continue to learn, and then they may have other ways, innovative ways. Once you become a student, like all teachers learn from their students. For one, even if we learn that I need to change my pedagogical style in order to help the other students, because these students are more, they're progressing, you know, faster than the other group of students. Or this one student may need some additional help or additional work or to challenge them in their learning. But we're in the same inclusive classroom. So we learn things. Well, they always said you learn something new every day. So I really love focusing on education and peaking the intellect, I love working with youth and seniors. My peers, you know, they're all right. No offense to my peers in the 50s. But we have a lot of, oh, I'm too busy. I'm working a lot. Well, take this time out for yourself. So it's really time for me to actually put an ad out and impress upon others, because I found myself literally chasing people. I just had a call right before we started. My doctor, I spoke with my doctor's office as well, and we went over into like 9:36 or something. I heard the audio playing by the time I was able to call in. So the thing is, the time that I'm taking to explain, if people have questions, well, the thing is, I might have to, because mind you, I could be doing a video. You know what I mean? I could be doing a instructional video while I'm on the phone with someone for a half hour, you know? So I do have a questionnaire on my website. And then I have the youth website, and then I have, well, it's www.chime4peace.wordpress.com, and then RebaLaMaestra.com, which is Reba the teacher in Spanish, RebaLaMaestra, M-A-E-S-T-R-A, .com, the adult website, well, the general personal website. I do have some videos there and things like that. So I used to use my questionnaire option. I put it on Facebook. I got a lot of engagement there. You know, a poll, not questionnaire. I could do polls. So that's pretty much worked. But people love when I talk about relationships. That's where I came up with, after a while, when you invited me to co-host, act like a lady, think like a gentleman. And yes, you're right. It sounds a lot like Steve Harvey. He is my inspiration behind it, but it's not exactly the same wording. Act like a lady, think like a man is his. Act like a lady, think like a gentleman. So I can never be sued because I'm not stealing his stuff.
Right. When it comes to relationships challenges, what would you say would be one of the primary causes of breakups? If you can give me like the top three that come to your mind.
Lack of effective communication, because you can communicate, but it needs to be effective. And when I say effective, the listening needs to be broken down, needs to be understood or understood as I really at heart want to understand where you're coming from, what you're communicating to me. And then it's important to take that to the next step. How do I feel? How do I respond? Which should be in a positive way. Even if you don't agree, you can respond in a positive way, because the next thing is coming up with solutions. And if I'm your friend, solutions. No, that's the friendship.
What would be one of the problems? I may have to rephrase. What would be one of the problems that pop up, common denominator problems in a lot of relationships today?
Once again,
particularly if you live in a place like Chicago, Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Inner city,
yeah,
big city.
Areas.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I don't know if demographics has anything to do with it, but I think I'm getting some insight as to what you're alluding to. But once again, the three different issues, breakups, because if you're not effectively communicating, then you're losing one another. You're not bonding. Your bond is not effective. There's not a real bond. Communication, friendship foundation, and friends. So then, you know, you do have the attentiveness. Okay, so they kind of coincide. And the reason for the breakups is if you're not treating me as a friend, meaning you doing your own thing. A lot of couples I've heard do their own thing like this. Even this guy last night, he said that some men don't need a wife. Well, he's been with his lady for 20 years. That doesn't mean that she doesn't want to be married because they're in love. And then he subsequently said further in the conversation, well, you trying to get in my business? Because I said, well, out of 20 years, have you ever, because now we were talking about my personal situation, which I was dating someone that he knows. He tends to think that, oh, I know what men think, but men are different. Men have some general tendencies because of the nature. Women are more nurturing. Not that men can't nurture, but that's pretty much, you know, we're dominant in the nurturing side. Men are basically providers, protectors. So with his idea, now if his lady left him, I'm not speaking that on him, but I guess he would be shocked. He can come off as a male chauvinist, really, really great guy. He's kind. I don't like to use the word nice, which means gullible. For one, to say that, because we're talking about a situation, you know, and the man, you know, he's wealthy, that we were discussing. The man is wealthy and he has lots of women. He did have a recent marriage of maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the wealthy man. But I know, you know, I'm close friends with this wealthy man. And so this guy works for the wealthy man, the guy at the facility. I said, well, how do you know what happened, what caused? He said, well, you know, he may not have, you know, all men don't necessarily need a wife. Well, just because you have money doesn't mean that you don't need a wife. So I was trying to get him to explain to me why he feels. I said, well, now, wait a minute, because you're a man, you think you know about a man. Like, let's say I was involved with someone that you know. So you think that because you know this man, I said, because a woman knows a man in a different way. There's a level of intimacy. She knows his quiet places. They've had conversations that he may or may not have with you. So keep in mind, you know, I don't think that it's across the board, you know, why relationships, you know, would break up. But as far as top three, they said financial, but I think financial ties into the communication, effective communication, friendship, you know, if we're working together, because for one, even marriage itself is a partnership. It's a business. You sign a contract, a marriage decree, and so you don't sign those things. And I was thinking, I was taking my shower earlier, I'm like, well, this guy is probably afraid to be married. I think a lot of men who say that, oh, well, some men don't need to be married. Well, that's not your choice. He says he's a Christian. You believe and God, you say you believe God, you have a relationship with God. Well, the Bible that you read says that a man should have his own wife. Now, 20 years, he wouldn't answer the question. He says, oh, you now you're getting into my business. He wouldn't answer the question as to whether he went outside of his relationship in those 20 years. I say, because this woman is literally in your corner, y'all in love. She's literally your wife after 20 years. It's called common law marriage. So she's literally your wife. So we can turn, so mind you, I have a legal background. And attorneys win cases based on how they argue the case with words. So words have different meanings to different people. So keep in mind, one couple has an argument. An argument could actually break up a couple. Do you agree? Certain people can break up over silly arguments. And I would say silly arguments because you've been together, but you just can't agree. So now that goes back to communication. An argument could be a debate. Like, I've had debates, but I don't think I've ever argued with my ex-husband. Yeah, it couldn't be a debate with him because he really wasn't trying to hear me. He wasn't trying to hear me. So it tended to be an argument, which was brief because I don't like a lot of drama. So I would draw back. And then I was, you know, I was a Christian at the time. I would pray. I would draw back. But I did say things that I know that were sharp. And there's an expression, you can only kick a dog for so long, and then they'll bite back. So
that's true.
I'm not calling myself a dog, but the expression says that, you know, you can attack a person for so long, and then they'll bite back. They'll fight back. But I think our relationships, you know, you should, besides the, I would call the honeymoon phase, not just with married couples. But one thing I learned in my young 53 years, I'll be 54 May 9th. So you guys, yeah, I got a GoFundMe on Facebook. You all donate for my birthday. So it's for the children, for the building our tiny solar mobile cabin. So the thing is, you got to be able to nip things in the bud that are red flags that someone is not going to treat you right. Some things, and then you have a lot of podcasts where people say, hey, you know, you got the, I don't know if they're relationship coaches, whatever. Well, I guess they can be called that. Stefan Speaks, I listen to him. Well, the thing is, I know for myself from experience before I even started following Stefan, you got to tell people where you stand. And if they cross that line, they don't get another chance or they have to miss you. I'm not taking you back into my life, into my space, into my intimate circle because I'm okay with what you did. Because then strike, I don't think a person should get strike three because you've already proven to me that you would do this disrespectful act toward me. You've proven to me that you would violate me in some type of way. Let's say violate. Say disrespect, violate. You violated what I've always, we've had conversations, but then you can't talk about everything in one conversation, but then there should be some basic things that actually are what they call what deal breakers, right? Because I don't use it very often, but I will learn because I know you've used it. Deal breakers. So make your deal breakers clear. Make them clear. And then, like I said, for myself, I gave too many chances. So my 13 relationship, I had gone through so many, and this is a previous 13-year relationship. Been knowing that guy, he'd do anything for me to this day, but I wanted to be married. I was a Christian. I was following that mold, but this man was like literally a husband to me. He, to this day, he'll do anything for my children, anything for me. And keep in mind, I'm not involved with him, but he wished that he would have married me. So he wanted children. He just didn't want to be married. So for the guy that I was talking to, he just may not want to be married. But that young lady, let her meet somebody. He can be so confident and arrogant as to say, oh, no, she's not going anywhere. So you think. So you think. Because that marriage decree, it's a license. It's a contract. So it's saying to death do us part. And in some cases, there's a spiritual death. My first husband, he was going through some things. I didn't like the fact that we agreed, but he went beyond what we agreed to. He wanted to become a Mason, and that's the fraternal organization worldwide. He agreed to get into a church home because I saw something in the spirit. I have vision. God has given that. That's one of my spiritual gifts. I said, let's get into a church home. Well, when I went up to join a church, he wouldn't come. So I'm walking, and I went up there by myself. I probably should have turned around, but I'm already walking, so it doesn't look. It's not a good look to turn around. Like, she don't want to come to God, which I already had a church home. So they just switched my membership over. But he sat there in the pews, and he did not come. And I couldn't beg him to come. The marriage ministry, because we were newlyweds, the marriage ministry, I could say literally was a flop. There were people in a marriage ministry that asked questions like, where's your husband? And it's a confidential group. But at the same time, I believe one of the women shared something outside of the group. However, how many times within a meeting and having this prayer group, marriage ministry, how many times, if my husband's not with me, how many times are you going to ask? To me, that's like, I won't say badgering, but, you know, it's like, imagine, you know, imagine how I'm feeling. Your husband's sitting up there, and her husband was my husband's mentor. So, you know, reach out to him, you know, but we're there. You know, it's just really crazy. So even in a church, for instance, you have to know what you want because we have our own individual relationship with God. And out there in radio world, blog world, I do love God. I have a relationship with God, but I don't identify with most Christians because they don't even, many Christians don't even believe what the Word of God says or what the Bible says because the Word of God, as I know and can confirm, even Jesus said, the veil is very removed. You have your own relationship with God. So it's not always that you go to the Bible, because you may not be able to think of a scripture. The Apostle Paul says, I've hidden God's words in my heart. Because now his word, first of all, the word itself is really his love, his guidance, his instruction. So we have a will to do certain things. Like, I just apologized to someone yesterday that I was reacting in an ungodly way. I don't say Christ-like, but I will say it was just not very kind. I was responding out of anger and bitterness because I was being attacked. So I could say, well, I didn't owe this person any apology, because it started from that end. But I needed to release. I needed to release myself. And then it dawned on me, what if this person decided to commit suicide? Her blood would be on my hands. Because I could say that I don't care. I have a relative, and two of my uncles just try to say, oh, well. Now we're talking about family relationships. But that's what act like a lady. And as far as my relative, I was just discussing with a friend. My ex-fiance's cousin. I don't know if I saw her on the street, if I would save her life. I think I would, but it's to that point. Person can only go so far. I don't know if I would keep walking. And if anyone listening knows me personally, they would never in a million years think that I would ever say anything like that because of my heart. I've stopped fights on the street until my son stopped me because people are carrying guns now. So one thing about it, just to clarify, the act like a lady, think like a gentleman was actually really just sharing experiences, which are not all mine. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, relationships, and you have had witness to some of the things that I've experienced to a certain degree. Of course, I couldn't share everything. Some things are, like my mother said, my late mother said when I was a newlywed, she said, some things are between a woman and her God, which they are. She actually had encouraged me, and she only said it once because she didn't want to do that. So, because I did marry him anyway, he was younger than myself. She didn't want to be the one to say, I told you so. However, she said, if you marry him, you're going to be marrying your third child. He had his immature ways, but He did better than most men my age at that time. By the time I think our marriage lasted until I was like 32. So I get it, what she was saying, but she didn't want to say. Now, once we got married, she didn't, you know, he got violent, and I alluded to that. He got into the fraternal organization. He was going through a lot of stress. He was young, he's like 21, and what they put him through, the initiation process, it was stressful. It caused him to lash out at me, and he got violent. It was in him, because I'd seen a flag before, and I was the type that always fought back. But a man is always going to try to figure out a way to subdue or come back, because if he's violent, some women are violent too, he's going to think, okay, well, she kind of won that one. I didn't subdue her. She fought back and she stood up against me, but I'm the conqueror. So that's always going to be in the back of his mind, the abuser's mind or hers. I did not accomplish subduing that person. So it's in the back of their mind. So, yeah, I always think about that. I've shared it, too, when we had that podcast, the last podcast we did with Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Gentleman, that you produced back then, that I said he thinks that I was stealing Steve Harvey's thing. And you, when you ended the podcast, when you you know, ended. He said, that sounds like a lot like Steve Harvey. I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I would say those three things, you know, just to be clear. Effective communication, the friendship foundation, which comes with communication. It's tied in, you know, they're intertwined. And then because they say financial, but keep in mind, it's one basic thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How can you have a relationship if you don't care what happens to that other person? Right?
Well, what about...
And so I saw the other thing was attentiveness, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about finances?
Well, that's communication. So one, what's the golden rule, right? So Buddhists have this amazing thing. They believe in karma. So people say, oh, they pray to Buddha, but at the same time, whatever higher power, the reality is that they are adamant about treating of whatever you put out into the universe comes back to you.
Right.
And it's like Bible says, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. To me, that's literally karma. That person may not be the vessel or the avenue, the route to what's coming back to you, what you put out into the universe. However, praying to God, but what you steal. So that's why I was tossing and turning over the last few weeks. Well, last week or so. It was for that person. Yes, that person actually initiated the negative energy. And I was angry. And I was not allowed to talk to this person. Same thing with my relatives. And two of my uncles want me to call this person family. No, family. Once again, we could break these words down. I have family. Like, I could consider you family. You care for me. You call me when you think of something that may help me. We check in with each other. If we don't hear from each other. So to me, family is right. Not necessarily I'm taking care of you, but I'm accountable. That's the thing. Accountability, which goes back to that basic relationship thing. I do not feel that family is always blood related, because you can have relatives that are snakes, such snakes that they don't care about your life. I at one point was like, well, if somebody try to come at me, you just have to take my life. But for that relative, no, you go get that person. No, I don't know where they are, because I don't even communicate with that person. So you can't even take my life over that. But, you know, I'm not going to stick my neck out. I fought, to protect this person, you know, things like that. And unfortunately, you said money. You said, what about finances? Imagine that. That means that you are not a friend to that companion as far as relationships. Finances, you can't work finances out between the two of you like that couple. They're struggling. But they reached out to what? Dr. Phil, both of them. They may have had disagreements or whatever, but it looks like they agreed, because now you're working, what, two jobs apiece they had? Four amongst each other?
Yeah, four between jobs the two? Among them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Between the
four
two?
Jobs.
So, well, they have to communicate to actually make that decision. That's healthy relationships. Because we see it in other cultures. Like, well, you know, I'm thinking about taking this other job. Isn't that fair to say, well, I'm thinking about taking a second job? So we see it. It's not fairy tale stuff. This is real. People are actually, so I'm going to start doing my act like a lady, think like a gentleman again, because we have our children out here watching us. They watch how we don't get, we fail to get along. They watch how we handle things. And we also have to consider, I was having a conversation with someone else yesterday about mental illness, actually my niece. And she's my niece through a previous relationship. She loved me. You know, I show you pictures. I think you've probably seen you saw the girl kissing and hugging on me at the Grand Ballroom. She been knowing us since she was like 3 years old. And just very engaged. That relationship with her uncle lasted, you know, 13 years, but we're still friends to this day. We're not involved. But he would do anything for me. But certainly talked about mental illness, because she was dealing with a situation. And we got to remember that just because a person seems to be normal, I had who I thought was a friend. It was a little interesting because of how we met, you know, the mutual person that we met through, the mutual person that we know. But the person snapped out on me because I didn't do something that they wanted me to do. And I said that doing that thing, it actually, it has me like so involved that it's like an obsession. So I cannot do this favor for you, connected to like business, you know. So the, you know, so that person did their business a certain way. And for me, I'm like, and I talk in second and third person because, you know, our podcasts are going to go viral. Especially when we put videos to our podcast. And so, yeah, I value friendships. But I pretty much, I saw, and God kept in my heart that, and I saw you know, people could talk, but you could see like maybe some jealousy here and there. And it's hard to cover that up with a person who has insight like myself. If it's not family, so my family member, we, you know, kind of grew up together, you know, so I kept, you know, because it's blood related. I'm just like giving a person a benefit of the doubt. Well, this person who has a mutual associate that we met through, I didn't give the benefit of the doubt. I just knew it wasn't a benefit of the doubt, but I saw some signs of jealousy, but this person is in a relationship and they live together. So why would you have jealousy toward me? And to the point where you mention that when you sever our friendship, you mention, you know, the mutual friend being a reason why we're not going to continue a friendship. So I don't really feel that we were ever really friends. That person has been there for me, but I've been there for that person too. So we have to really, when we see red flags, we have to analyze and say, well, you know, and it doesn't take much. What do they say, Brother L.A.? If you walk like a duck, talk like a duck.
It
must be a duck. Right. It must be a duck. It must be a duck. So you might not want to believe that it's a duck, but the spirit of that entity is a duck. Snake, one lady told me concerning that same 13-year relationship. You know, the guy cheated on me, and I speak about this, you know, openly because we're friends, and he knows what he did, you know, but he cheated on me. And so this elder woman, I used to go out with her daughter, and we used to go out to the clubs together. She said, well, a snake, he bit you once. Are you going to wait for him to bite you again? So I'm thinking, like, did she expect me to break up with this guy? So I was listening, but it didn't register. So that still meant the snake bit me. So I still needed to step back. I wasn't prepared to step back. I didn't know enough to protect because with my current relationship, which is 12 years plus, can't say 13 because we've been knowing each other 13 years, probably. This year be 14 years in December. Well, I finally got a ring, but the reality is that you don't necessarily, I never believed in like trying to control somebody else, but you have a right to say what a person can do to you or how they can, you know, handle you. And that's even in conversations about you. So people are the way they are. Betty Muhammad, here in Chicago, she is a leader in the city. She said, let people be, B-E, just let them be. That really, really helped me. People are the way that they are. They choose to be that way. They may not even really know. That's where psychology comes in. My family always thought that I was going to be a psychologist. psychologist. The reality is that our life experiences make up who we are. It's adamant that we is pertinent. Imperative, what am I trying to say? That we let people be, recognize it, and handle it, and sometimes with a long-handled spoon, like my late mother used to say. Handle it, handle certain people with a long-handled spoon if you need to, but you don't have to hate them. Because now if you get into certain company of people, you know, let's say we have some people working on our tiny solar project. We may have to move some people around because they don't work well together. Now, we have the overseers, right? But we may have, because we need for them to have the team spirit. We may have to get the project done. We don't have a lot of time to sit in council. So we can address the issue at hand. However, no three strikes. Once again, that same relationship, and I'm giving it to the world. No three strikes. Now, I see, because mind you, now I'm an educator. I'm in a classroom. So I didn't give, like, in-school suspensions. It's my heart, my Taurus. I don't give up. So people think Tauruses are stubborn, we're mean. No, we're passionate. So we can get mean if you mess with our babies, our man, money, and our man. Our men, or vice versa, somebody's woman. The reality is that passion means that their stubbornness means that we don't give up. So I'm going to give you a chance. But once you've pushed me to the limit, It's done. You know, so now I don't trust you. But the Taurus's heart, we love deep. So we don't give up so easily. That's the stubbornness. We believe what we believe. We know what we know until we can be effectively given some insight as to changing our minds. So, yes, we're stubborn. We don't believe fat meat is greasy until we see the grease. In many cases, not that we're not slow, but at the same time, we look at things on the surface, and when we let people into our face, we can love the world passionately. I would love to know what Obama's birth sign is, but some of our leaders, when it comes down to it, let's look at, and I don't really like study the stars and zodiacs like that, but we're under, you know, the way, even when the sun comes out, right? We feel a certain way when that sun beams down on us. You open up the window, the elements. So the earth and the elements, what God has given us in this world that we live in the, what to say, God's green earth, we do react. We have minerals in our body, so we do react a certain way. To the moon, there are chemicals in the moon, there are elements in the moon. So keep in mind, yes, there's reality to that. So that's why we have the zodiacs, because these people born under a certain sun, under a certain moon, they behave a certain way. Their characters are a certain way. And keep in mind, there's variations, like on that chessboard, Brother L.A., right? On that chessboard, keep in mind, someone could misjudge me of who I am because I could be considered like a Virgo because of my giving nature. You said that I was stubborn because I'm a Taurus, but Tauruses don't give up. Now, other Taurians may not give somebody as much of a chance as me. You know, my mother was a Virgo, my dad was a Libra, so I have certain inherited traits too. So that's why we cannot necessarily just go off of the absolute. Because keep in mind, it depends on your makeup. It depends on your upbringing. My mother was very optimistic. My dad was, you know, straight to my mother, you know, in her adult age. But she was straight to the point, you know. However, she was very watchful. My dad was both of them were community-hearted. My mother was a nurse. My dad was actually an advisor to Lou Palmer and the late Harold Washington, our late mayor here in Chicago. So, there are certain inherited traits, too. A lot of people have to know that. So well, I'm about to register for school any day now, probably today. I'm going to go up to the university and just get my paperwork done. I will go ahead and take my psychology courses, and then once I get into the field, make my money to pay for my law classes, or, you know, maybe I will get an honorary doctorate or whatever. I don't want to pay the money just for the law degree. I don't, you know, people come out of college, you know. So I'm wondering if that couple, back to that couple, if they're struggling because of maybe they have a PhD and they pay for all this education. So I can imagine with four jobs, they're probably living of a on a certain, they have a certain lifestyle. So
yep, that could be hope. That could be the problem, well, right there. Their lifestyle could be too extravagant.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say too extravagant, because how do you tell me that my quality of life? See, now that's what do you consider quality of life? Extravagant, one thing, right? But then this couple decided that we're going to work four jobs. So now that quality time makes a big difference. I'm sure they're still together, so they've had to have some type of quality time. But if they don't, maybe that's why they went to see Dr. Phil, like, what's going on? What are we doing? Do we not know how to budget? What's going on? They could be, but keep in mind, going into relationship, consider all of those things. People actually consider, hey, does this person have good credit? I know, Afro-Indigenous woman, we had a singles seminar. I felt some type of way because I don't know if I was separated or divorced by then, but I was like, dang, you know, I was at this church and I was married. But, you know, the girl that was on a panel, she said, well, I date someone, I give them, I think she said 2 months. 2 months. And if they're not who I, if they have not, if it's not clear to me that this is someone that I should date, I just leave them. I'll date someone new. And so the Christians, of course, they were like, well, no, I think it was 2 years. Was it 2 years? Yeah, it was 2 years. And then when I was in college, at David College, a nurse said that her daughter did the same thing. I think she encouraged her daughter to do the same thing. She said, 2 years tops. If within 2 years they don't know that they want to marry you. So this woman wasn't saying that, oh, I'm intentionally just dating and fornicating, you know, so who knows? But keep in mind, that's okay. I'm at that point. You know, I'm not married, but I did get a ring put on my finger. So I look at marriage in a different way. So someone says that I'm common law married. But what if he decided? Because, you know, who's to say? You know, is God going to come down and say, hey, you know, because who knows if he's, you know, a lot of times people can say, hey, I'm a man or woman of God, and I'm a man of God. Because recently my companion said, pray for me. He's dealing with some things, so pray for me. But a person can make a choice, even in a marriage. So that's why I say if it's not God ordained, you know, for those who, you know that God is real and Christians, God ordained, well, how do you know that it's God ordained? So you'll have peace in your relationship. You won't have those times when you're feelings are being hurt and that person doesn't recognize and they do the same thing again. They say, this is what they told me when I was a little girl, and it's crazy. My aunt who told me this, and other family members have told me this. And although she and I don't have a relationship, I still consider her family. She poured so much into me. I just said something that hurt her feelings. But when she left Chicago, she literally separated herself from the family. And I was like, growing up, she's like maybe 10 years older than me. My sister was the sister, because she's the youngest in the family. My sister roomed with my aunt, who's the second youngest, next to the youngest. So I roomed with my aunt, who's now a speaker with Don Maxwell. And so I said to myself, you know, and I think I put it on Facebook or whatever, but I don't want to attack. I'm just like, well, I don't know if she's still a Christian, but keep in mind, what about starting at home? Like, I can help the whole world. You can't say you can't help me because you haven't tried. We had a relationship growing up when she left, and I had family members. I was like, well, she won't call me, da-da-da. And I think that she was disappointed in me. I had my first child at 25. I was engaged, but I think that she just thought. And then I learned later that people were saying things about me that she didn't call me anyway, but they were saying things that it was like, wow. Oh, and then I do recall this. I never thought about that till now. My fiance, I was pregnant, probably like 8 months pregnant, like sat wobbling around the house, the family house that we grew up in. And he's chasing her. He's like, hey, we call her Dee Dee. hey, Dee Dee. And she was beautiful, chocolate, supple, you know, flawless chocolate skin and very intelligent. She's who one of my aunts and uncles that I get my articulation from. But the reality is this. My fiance, he didn't know any better, I guess, but I needed for him to, I was going through a thing. I'm pregnant, first child, and emotional stuff. And he was literally chasing up behind her, and she said something to me. Now, this is my aunt. Something you shouldn't say to your niece. If I wanted him, I could have him. If I wanted him, I could take him or something like that. And forgive me, I guess we'll have to delete that because she is a professional. I ain't scared, but it's just the fact that I said the name. But it's my story, and it's actually the truth. So keep in mind, you know, like I'm writing books now. So people, you know, you get sued if you use somebody's likeness and things like that. But it's called a testimony. How about that? And I do love my aunt, but we don't have a relationship. But just thought about that, maybe what triggered her to say, hey, you know, although, you know, she may have been in her 30s. Yeah, because I was in my 20s. I was 24. Yeah, she may have been, yeah, she was in her 30s. And so maybe not understanding, you know, understanding to like, well, this young girl said something, but I'm like, is that the reason that she separated? But she, then my uncle said, one of my uncles said, he says I'm his favorite niece. He said, well, she doesn't really communicate with anybody. But yeah, but I'm like, this is me though. This is me. You know, she took me to dinner because she knew it would be difficult for me when she left. So a part of my testimony, I had a nervous breakdown at 19. She felt some type of, so mind you, she had already left. I think I was like 16 when she left. To pursue her career. She was going to D.C. She worked for, was it the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., Federal Department of Justice? Uh-huh. I'm getting younger, brother. But, yeah, I love to talk about relationships, as you can see. So the concept of that podcast back then, and as you can see, because I go off on different tangents, but it just gets deeper and deeper. So, yeah, I still need some counseling. And I look at, like I said, my aunt, she's a speaker with John Maxwell. So she's doing all these podcasts. They've done retreats. I can't say I wasn't invited, but I don't know. I used to reach out to her or whatever. But the thing is like, you know, even in the Christian world, it says, are you your brother's keeper? How do you love me who you cannot see if you don't love your brother whom you can see? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So a lot of Christians do that. So one thing that my mother was very wise, she was like the matriarch of the family when my grandmother transitioned. And certainly so because she was the eldest sister. However, she became to her for advice and things like that. You know, she said, you feed some people with a long-handled spoon, but you still should, I think you still should check up on people. You know, I don't get how, because my aunt, my oldest aunt, right under my mother, because there were four daughters, she told my cousin, she said, well, because for years, I would always call everybody on their birthday and make sure that I called them. You know, we were children, we were, you know, under 18, we partied together, you know, because, you know, the parents do the birthday parties, and they bring us to each other's birthday parties. So we'd see each other, but as we had become adults, I know it's somebody's birthday, I'm going to call them. She said, y'all make sure, so my aunt told her daughters, y'all make sure y'all call Reba, because she always calls y'all for your birthday, y'all make sure y'all call her. So she was just guiding them on etiquette. There's some things called family etiquette. Let that be my term. Okay, so I'm coining that phrase. LA, family etiquette, quote unquote, family etiquette. Family etiquette. Because you can't call me your family if you're really not family minded. So I don't get that where you care for me, not take care of me. That's the difference. I'm not saying take care of me, but have some kind of accountability. One of those daughters actually called me recently. So we had like a situation where, you know, a lot of us were just in a disagreement. And but she did reach out to me. The others have called me for advice, you know, and things like that. Not recently, though, but she's the only one. She's the baby girl of that part of my family. Well, that family. She's my aunt. So, things don't hurt me like they used to. I might feel a little something in my heart, like, well, dang, you know, a little sting, but, you know, I meet so many people. I'm walking my purpose. So what, and I would just share this with the listening audience, and for yourself, like you, the part of what, like, it's not like you and I don't have our moments where, like, well, you know, we have our days where it's like, oh, well, I don't like to say, I don't like to complain. Because to me, you're literally complaining, saying I don't like to complain. To me, you know, it's like, why would you need to say I don't want to complain? I can't complain. Well, why do you need to tell me that you can't complain?
Well, I never thought about it that way.
Well, pardon me? I know you used that one too.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, someone said it, and I noticed that because I remember our grandparents and things like that, the elders, have said that. I can't complain. And then there's this amazing song, Mad, I know you play gospel from time to time, like one of your favorite gospel songs, but there's a song that's called I Can't Complain. I Won't Complain. It's an amazing song. Beautiful. So I get it. So that's what we can substantiate, I won't complain. Now, you can complain, but if you say I won't complain, okay, I get it. I won't complain. So that gives me an indication, okay, you know, pray for this person in a special way. I don't have to know what it is. I don't have to know what to pray for you about. I even told somebody at this Lutheran church I used to go to, she was like, oh, let me pray for you. Now, imagine, I was going through that thing with my husband, and he became abusive. And she was like, oh, I want to pray for you and your husband. She said, God will fix it. I said, oh, whoa. No, I don't want you to pray. So she wants to say, no, I can pray for you right now. No. Because I didn't necessarily, see, mind you, so, not that I'm not close to God now, but I was, you know, the praying in tongues and laying on the hands and things like that. I knew very, I was very careful. And thank goodness in that moment, because keep in mind, you don't just let anybody just pray over you either. And I feel that she had good intentions. She just didn't know any better. I'm praying one thing, God, let your will be done, and we are not together. She was encouraged. She began to say, oh, I'm going to pray that y'all be together. And I wasn't sure, but I don't want you to pray for me that we're going to be together, because while you're praying for me, I'm receiving that message in my mind. And so domestic violence, it goes to the point that, you know, it's a vicious cycle. And mind you, that was my husband. So I went through emotional, physical, psychological, and financial abuse because that was my husband. When he cut me off the medical, that's financial abuse. He was responsible to take care of his family. So a lot of people don't know that. I learned that when we were going through our divorce. I did not let those attorneys fight for my alimony. I was such a Christian. I was like, no.
Oh, wait a minute. Before we go to the next caller. Let's go with that financial abuse now. I want to tie that into how, at least, if people out there go to eBay, real estate, if you're in front of your whatever your device is. I'm on a laptop as well as a smartphone. Go to eBay real estate where we want to address this of financial abuse, which will tie in to what we were talking about anyway, go to eBay real estate and then now how did they have that on here? Put in Saginaw, Michigan. And tell me what pops up on your screen. I'm going to open up Daryl's mic, too.
Hello,
eBay.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Daryl.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Daryl. You were speaking.
Yes, the figures I got for you for like $1 million, $10,000 goes into $1 million 100 times. And then you were saying like to do like a work day of 6 days. So if you do a work work 6 days a week, that would be 16.6 houses per day.
Okay. Now, the figure that she gave, what was that figure, $10,000?
Yeah, but you said how many times that
$10,000? All right. Now, with that, because this ties this into what we'll be doing. Go to eBay, eBay Real Estate, and, well, when you get there, let me know, either one of you. Then I'll tell you what to do after that. eBay Real Estate, because it might be showing up. We're in three different places, so it might, the page that you land on might have something then, but just eBay Real Estate and then what pops up on your screen, and then I can try to follow you from here. All right, either one of them got that yet? eBay Real Estate?
I'm still popping it in.
Okay.
So I had, real estate land local pickup. So what am I looking for?
All right. What do you have? What's the first listing that you have on your page?
Real estate land.
You say, all right, on the left-hand side, you see real estate, and then it says shop by category. Okay, then look to your right slightly. You see all listings, auction, and buy it now.
Well, I'm on my cell phone. I don't see that. Oh, yeah, I see buy it format.
A different
cell phone.
It's not Coinsign there. Yeah, click on buy.
Cut it off.
So go buying format.
No, you got to
get
my thing.
Go back to your
phone. Wait a minute.
Let me.
Daryl, mute your phone right quick. While you talk to your son, please.
I got to mute.
So you said buying format, right?
Yeah. No. It says buy it now.
It's different on my cell phone.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Click on buy it now. What do you see?
Mine has buying format.
All right,
then
click on that.
It has all, best offer, option, buy it now, classified as.
Buy it now. Click on buy it now.
Okay.
Okay, now what do you see?
It says like 43 watching and things like that.
Yeah.
So that means that they're bidding as we speak?
Yeah, but what's the price of the property? What type of property is it?
Okay, so the first one is real estate land.
Forget about land. We're looking for houses.
Houses? Okay. Cute two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath, fixer-upper for sale. Oh, that's not bad.
How much are they asking?
$7,999. The price?
All right. Hold on. Where is that located?
Luella Avenue. So I don't know. I have to click on it.
Yeah, click on it.
I'm trying to turn my phone sideways so I can get a better screen. That's in Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, hold it.
Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
How do you spell that?
Charleroi is Charleroi. Charleroi.
You said Roy?
R-O-I.
Oh, I know what I need to do. Pennsylvania.
My brother lives in Pennsylvania, yeah. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right, so they're asking, I'm trying to find it on here.
I can give you the address. You want to Google it. No, you want to. You looking for eBay site?
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. This is, all right, hold it. Residential, man, how can I find it on here? Let's see. It's in Pennsylvania, you say, right?
Yeah. Is there a way to search? I have the address.
No, wait a minute. I'm trying to get it on my screen.
Not Pennsylvania Avenue, Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
No,
state.
Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I got it. Pennsylvania. Okay. There, I'm opening back up your mic here. All right. So how much are they asking again?
$7,999 even.
I found it. 43 watching?
Yes.
Okay. I found it.
Wow, I would love. My brother has a lot of houses in Pennsylvania.
Okay, now.
Well, Pittsburgh.
Darryl, I'm about to open up his mic again. All right, hold on, Darryl. I'm opening up your mic again. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Something like that, but instead of, because we can make our own places.
Right.
But this is an example of a platform that we can use, just one of many. But just imagine having an auction a day, or they have a buy it now price or make an offer, whatever. But this is a buy it now price. Now, more than likely, they bought this house. Well, let's look at it. It's a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath, fixer-upper. They probably bought this house for anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. But the buy it now price, you see what that is. So imagine, once again, that's what I'm saying. Divide, let's just round that up to $8,000. $8,000, divide that. How many times would you have to do that to gross $1 million? We're talking about, and then you can click on this, the different pictures. I'm looking for, they have all exterior pictures on this. I don't see any. Oh, yeah. They do have some interior pictures on here. So it's not that bad of a job. It's a fixer-upper, as they stated.
Ellie, what was the numbers again you had?
All right, the house. All right, did you first thing? Did you find the house?
No, I didn't.
All right. If you go to the real estate section on eBay.
Okay.
Okay. Then what you want to look for is you want to click on residential. And then you want to click on the state. And this is in Pennsylvania.
Okay, mama said I did something wrong.
All right.
I just saw the R, not really realizing it's staying register.
Right. And then if you scroll down on what the, you know, wrote the guy wrote. Reba, you still on the page?
Yes, I do have the figures for you.
Okay, scroll down where you see price and closing, mm-hmm. where it says for home, we're only asking $7,999 plus $899 for closing equals the cash amount of $8,898. In cash, and it tells you how the whole house is sold as is, no seller financing, and payment, they accept Zelle, personal business checks, cashier checks, and money orders only. So, Darryl, did you find it yet?
Pennsylvania house?
Yeah. If you want a residential house, and then look for it. It's in Pennsylvania. Click on Pennsylvania. That's the only state you click on, because you'll get
this
more
is
than.
What I got.
The house that you're looking for is priced at $7,999.
Okay. This is what I did. In the search bar, I put Pennsylvania house. Did I do the right thing?
Say that again.
In the search bar, I put Pennsylvania house. Did I?
What did you land on?
eBay. It was the first.
Yeah, break it down, Reba. Yeah, explain to them.
So, Daryl, it was the second listing when you go to eBay Real Estate. So there was land for sale, and then the second listing was Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
I went to eBay Real Estate, and the second listing. Is it 44 listings?
Yeah.
44 watching,
40,
yeah.
44 okay. 43 watching now, all right. Now, Daryl, what do you see on the left-hand side of your screen on eBay? The residential real estate?
Okay, let me go back again. Okay, this is what I have. I'm on eBay, right? It says eBay, and then it has like three dots. And then it has residential, and then it has residential existing homes. And
all right, wait a minute. Do you see shop by category right under real estate, residential real estate?
Okay, it says I'm gonna tell you how on my phone look. It says eBay. And then this is at the very top left. It says eBay. And then to the right, it has a figure. And then it has a shopping cart. And then it has the hamburger menu. And
No. Go all the way back to your left.
Go all the way back to my left.
You on a laptop or what?
I'm on a phone.
All right. Ooh, then Reba have a better picture. Let me go to... Use my phone and see if I can walk you through this. Okay, eBay. I'm on my phone with both of you. All right, hold it. eBay Real Estate. Let's see if I can pull it up like you guys. Okay. All right, I'm on my phone like both of you. All right, shop by category. All right, do you see shop by category?
Nope. I see resident existing home.
All right, here's what I have. All right, on my phone, when I put in, I see shop by category. And it says land timeshares for sale and residential. Is that? Do you see that?
I see
shop by category.
No, I see. This is what I see. It says residential assisted home, 36 results.
Click on residential. All right. Now, what do you have? What do you see when you click on residential?
Residential real estate, I have 44 results.
All right. I see that, too. Now, what's the very first one you see?
It says property for sale as is. Quick claim D will be created / show for.
What's the selling price on it? What's the price?
$3,000.
Is that the one... property for sale as is, quick claim deed for $3,000 even?
Yes. And it says zero bid, 14 hours and 27 minutes, local pickup.
Okay, let's click on that one. All right, Reba, do you see that one?
Let me go back.
They've got more than one on there that's $3,000. But let's just deal with this one that's $3,000.
Well,
anyway,
the figures for that last one, you would need to do that 125 times to make $1 million for that $8,000. So I'm going back to look for.
Okay. Well, the point I'm making
now, what's
is
that?
The point I'm making. All right. All right. This one is for $3,000. They got two of them on it, I see, for $3,000. Right, here's the point I'm trying to make. Number one, there's real estate at incredibly, extremely low prices available online. Now, the properties that we're looking at on our phones or laptops or other people listening, these are something that people picked up because whatever price that you see that they picked, got them for, they're going to need work. But what I'm talking about is we build our own and put them up for sale at, as you can see, these incredibly low prices. And it's just a matter of just build, sell until, I mean, repeat it 125 times as Reba just stated, or whatever it might be. That's what we're talking about. It's not rocket science. We just have to break. Now, the next step, now what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going, since we've had all three of us on eBay, is we're going to break down what it takes to get something on eBay. That's what we're going to do. That's the only thing we're going to do tomorrow is understand what we need to do to get something listed on eBay and sell it. We'll do eBay tomorrow and Facebook Marketplace. Those are the two e-commerce platforms. I've had experience with both of them, and I've had success with both of them. But we're going to pick those two apart tomorrow because we don't need both of them, or we can do both of them. But we're going to do those tomorrow because, like I say, it, as you can see, you can, matter of fact, and I'm telling you this right now. One of these auctions I did on eBay, this was years ago before you to place that. We did $10,000 in a 7-day auction. They didn't have to buy it now feature back then when I was doing it, first doing it. But now they do. So had I done that, a friend of mine told me, and I didn't process it. He said, if you do that 100 more times, you'll have $1 million. All we need to do is take this. And I don't know, between the two of you, $1,000 in your pocket. Okay. So, that I mentioned, there'll be no, and people don't have to fix up what we have. They don't have to fix up what we have. All they have to do is assemble it and go from there. Daryl, you were saying?
You going in and out.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, since I don't want to press my luck here. All right, tomorrow we're going to come back. We're going to study eBay and Facebook Marketplace. What we need to do to get something up on those two platforms. What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Yes, tomorrow's Thursday.
And then Friday we'll map out. Now, if you guys can, the other platforms, I'm just pointing out two that I've had success with. I'm just one person thinking out loud. Reba, any questions to ask before we tune out for today?
Hold on.
I want to link this back to the relationship thing.
Uh-huh.
So for couples, particularly the men, you know, if your woman is, we can't go out to eat, or we got the way to solve a lot of your problems. Like for instance, Reba, thinking the way I'm thinking now, if a person's needs some money, one of the strategies that they can use is let's do an auction together, or let's find something that we can buy at $1. Like if we can get a hold. Because what I did with these houses is sometimes I would get a deposit and then get partners for the balance of the money, then we would do the eBay auction, and in 7 days, sometimes we might have to run that auction twice. Let's say when I was doing it, first did it, okay, they didn't have the buy it now option, and then Facebook Marketplace didn't even exist. So
right. If
you're an individual or a couple, you can find, and like I said, what you see for $3,000, I bought houses for, fixed your upper house for as low as $500.
Right. Wow. They just wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, they just want to get rid of it, you know. And then when I got the fixer upper houses, just like these people don't know. So what I'm saying is now the fixer upper, it might cost $20,000 to $50,000 to fix it up. What I'm talking about is what we're building, the tiny houses that we've been talking about, Reba and Daryl and anybody else, is what I'm talking about is what we do. It doesn't need fix up. You know, you had to assemble it, but it's all new. So, but we'll go through that more. We'll go back into this eBay tomorrow and Facebook Marketplace tomorrow, so you two can get familiar with that. Because 44 people watching have money to buy now. That's why they call it a cat. You can do it through the auction, or you can buy it now.
I've had an eBay account, and I just marketed makes with vendors on my Facebook Marketplace. But I was selling headboards on eBay,
right.
And it is pretty. It's amazing. Have people
with eBay and Facebook Marketplace. You have people ready to buy right now.
Right.
All we need to do is organize on the boots on the ground team. So put it this way, if we build something every day, you got a marketplace to sell every day.
Right.
Doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be sexy. That's it. And just how many, just like you figure, you know, 100, if we got to do 125 times, great. But don't make the mistake I made is, all right, oh, man, we had a good auction, made $10,000 and then stopped. No, don't do that. Just keep on doing what you've already done. But we'll get into that tomorrow. So,
awesome.
Daryl, anything you want to add before?
Let me share the number for the young people who want to build the tiny mobile solar cabin. 773-449-8839. Again, that's the Black Youth Metropolis Brownsville Leadership Academic Center, the Black Center and Gardens. 773-449-8839. I am teaching Spanish at the Grand Ballroom Chicago, located 6351 South Cottage Grove. We are in classes in person Mondays and Wednesdays, 3:30 to 5:30, and Tuesdays. So we're registering all week, Monday through Wednesday. Next week, we're going to do our soft opening on Wednesday of next week. So you can register up until Wednesday. So we'll have all our registrations in. We're only taking a certain number of people. Dial 773-449-8839 to learn Spanish and to get into the lineup to build our tiny mobile solar cabin. So the children will be getting homework help and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Now, how many, and I let go, you see, it's $3,000. So we've been to, you, both of you have heard my solar cabin video. We're out of time for today, but, you know, he built it for $2,000. Now, he built it new. All right. So imagine if you tack on $3,000 onto that will bring it up. Well, you know what? Just $1,000. $1,000 profit. You know, once again, how many would you have to build, you know, to make your $1 million or your clear your million? Mm-hmm. So anyway,
right.
Now you know where to look on eBay. And like I said, tomorrow we're going to revisit this. Get into the requirements to get something up on eBay and Facebook Marketplace. Because, like I say, the people who are looking at this, they have money ready right now to spend. So we view the ads that they have on there, because, like, now they have Cash App. When I first started doing it, there was no such thing as Cash App. There was no such thing as Zelle. We got that now. So you got Cash App, Zelle, and all that, and it's a matter of getting things organized. So, you know, like I say, do you want to make money every day, once a week, once a month? You know, so you got. I'm glad you both got in that. On that note, thank you everybody, and we're way over time. So, and Blog Talk has to kick us off. All right, have a good day.